Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host, and we are ensconced and surrounded and enveloped by the beautiful, majestic, and historic B.B. McKinney Studios.
Thank you, Brian.
Downtown, capital of Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
The Capitol building is just over my left shoulder, in case our listeners want to know exactly how I'm positioned. The Capitol of Tennessee just over my
left
shoulder.
And like many state Capitol buildings, including the National Capitol building, it is being remodeled right now. So if you're in Nashville, you're going to see scaffolding and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think they finally got the scaffolding off the dome in D.C., but ours has just been put up recently, and they're redoing that. I do remember my grandparents who went to college here in the 1940s, saying, my grandmother told me that you could see the Capitol from any part in downtown Nashville. Not true today.
Not true.
but from our offices, I have a great view out my office window. But Mike, we're not here to talk about the Capitol of Tennessee.
We're not. Nor are we here to talk about Nashville.
Nobody listening to us except those who live here might care about that. No, we want to talk today about leading laterally in the church. So what does that even mean? Well, I read it, and now I want you to tell me why we're talking about it.
Many of the people that listen to our podcast are on church staffs.
Yes.
Pastors listen to this, and we hear from those, and a lot of worship guys listen to it, and worship ladies that are involved in worship ministry in one form or another listen to this. And we're grateful for that. We're very blessed by the variety of people that are listening to our podcast. As a matter of fact, Brian, it was fun. Recently, we did the Getty Sing Conference.
That's right.
And it was so cool to walk through the hall and have all these people coming up to us. I listen to Worship Life. And that was so cool. But anyway, the thing that when we talk about leading laterally, we're talking to those individuals listening to our podcast who are leaders themselves. They have people that they lead, whether it's a choir or a worship team or band or, and certainly congregation or as a pastor, they're leading an entire organization of a local church. But how, if you are on a team, how do you lead the people that you are lateral to in the organizational chart? The people that work alongside you. You don't have a position of authority where you're telling them what to do or directing their work.
Right.
And I would even say that if you are directing people at work, you probably don't want to lead them from a position of authority. You want to lead them in a way that where you're doing something together, where it's not this authority play or this position play, but you're influencing because you're serving shoulder to shoulder with someone, even if they report to you in an organizational chart. But leading laterally is a term you'll hear in the corporate world. What it means is you and I both work on this team and we are equals in this team. And yet from time to time, I want to lead you. And how do I lead you without doing it from a position of authority? I'm leading laterally.
Right.
So that's what the term is talking
about. So I'm minister of music at my church, and maybe on my staff, we don't have a big church staff, but there is a children's pastor, there's a minister of education, there's a youth pastor. So maybe we have four or five, a senior pastor, and I'm the music pastor there. And so I'm sure anyone listening, there's probably been times when the children pastor or the youth pastor were doing things that weren't exactly the most supportive of the music ministry. So how do you handle that?
I'll go further to say more common than that would be maybe it's a team of volunteers.
Yeah, that's right.
And this person coordinates the youth, and this person coordinates the kids, and this person coordinates whatever, and none of them are paid staff.
Yeah, for the vast majority of our churches,
and yet they have responsibilities. How do they lead each other when there's no organizational responsibility there?
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. It's a great question because, I mean, think about it. You're planning the Christmas music for the year that involves the students and involves the kids, and yet those ministries have their own Christmas calendar and own Christmas schedule, and often it's competing for the same time and for the same energy from the same people. I think about even in the church settings where I served, my leaders in my choir and my orchestra were also Sunday school teachers. They were also student volunteers. And there were times when I was expecting something from my people and the student ministry was expecting something from the very same people. And it was in conflict with each other. So, and you know what? I'll give you another scenario. Budget time. I don't know very many churches that have an unlimited budget. As a matter of fact, I think I don't know any churches that have an unlimited budget. So there's a finite amount of resources that the church is going to allocate. And here are all these people that have ministries to lead. And I want what I'm doing funded. And in my way of thinking, what I'm doing is more important, or, you know, it needs to have priority over what somebody else is doing. And yet they feel the very same way about where they are. So this idea of leading, being part of a team and leading each other, very critical idea in a church life. It's something we better be good at if the church is going to be led well by a team of people.
So, Mike, you and I, we talk to a lot of ministers of music and a lot of pastors. A common theme we'll hear from ministers of music is, well, you know what? We can't get a children's choir going because our children's leadership doesn't support it. We can't get a youth choir going in our church because the youth leadership of our church doesn't support it. We can't do a summer mission tour because the missions area of our church has their own mission and they don't want to steal it. So how do you handle that kind of conflict?
Well, you know, Brian, all of those scenarios are real world scenarios, and I've experienced every one of those. And I've got a epic statement that I make so often in so many places that there are people out there that have heard me say this before, I'm sure. And that is this: you have no right to influence anyone you are not first willing to serve.
That's good.
So how do I get other ministries to be supportive of the initiatives that I'm interested in? By serving them myself. Now, what does that look like? Well, it looks like in the children's space, at Vacation Bible School, I'm not looking at VBS as the week for me to unplug and go do something else. I'm in the children's leader's office or in the layperson's. I'm on the phone or interacting with the people that have the responsibility of Vacation Bible School weeks and months ahead of time, and I'm the worship pastor and I'm saying to them, how can I help you with Vacation Bible School? Can I take the band off your hands? Can I lead? Do you want me to prepare the musicians? Do you want me to, what is the role I can have to help you win with Vacation Bible School this year? And you come alongside that ministry and you begin to serve it, not just with your expertise as a musician, but just with your heart and your spirit as a member of that church that wants to see Vacation Bible School succeed. A lot of people know that I've always had a real heart to be involved in the discipleship part of what a church does. Not every ministry of music is going to feel that way, not going to feel like that's what they're supposed to do. But I'm convicted and convinced that God put in me a desire to teach. And so almost every church I was ministry of music at, I also taught Bible study. And there were now some churches that I was not able to do this because of the schedule. But in several churches I was on staff at, I would lead the early service, teach a Sunday school class in between, and lead the late services, minister of music. And I didn't do that to be Hercules. I did it because I cared about those ministries and knew that God had put it in my heart to do that. And the church would accommodate that. I would have somebody else warm up the choir in the second service because I was still wrapping up Sunday school, or on and on and on we could go. I can't tell you what favor that bought for me. And again, this is not about manipulation. This is about being authentic who you are. But I can't tell you how willing the education ministry always was to help me do something that I needed to do with choir, because I was already involved in their ministry. And not only would I be involved as a volunteer, I'd be involved like in the teacher meetings or in the teacher training conference at the education. I would go as a participant, not as a staff member sitting in the back of the room making notes, you know, about how well it's going for whatever purposes that might yield. But I was there as one of the teachers. So that's the second point I want to make. If you want to lead other ministries at the church, let those ministries lead you.
That's good.
Get inside what they're doing and be a participant in what they're doing, and be someone that supports them as just a member of the church, and then helps them in the case of children, like plugging into Vacation Bible School or plugging into the summer camp, or in the case of student ministry, host a Disciple Now group. I don't know a student ministry out there that doesn't struggle to get enough host homes for a Disciple Now. Well, why don't you step up and let a junior high group be in your house for the weekend, just as a member of the church. When your church is doing a special in-home prayer time, getting ready for, be one of the hosts. Be a great church member and be a participant and an active member of the other aspects of the church. And if you'll do that, you will earn the right to influence those other ministries because you're a participant in them.
It's a great word. I remember I was, like many of our listeners, have been the youth pastor, music minister, or just the youth pastor, and there just never seemed to be enough time. And so I would have welcomed help from the minister of music in churches where I was the youth pastor and needed the help. The other thing, I think any youth minister would be humble enough to recognize that they're based on his own gifts and talents and based on what the program has at that church for the youth. There are a lot of youth that are going to be really engaged, but there's always going to be some on the fringes that aren't engaged. And so if you approach it as the minister of music of how can I help you get those kids engaged in your music ministry rather than why won't you support me in my music ministry? I think that's a great, great thought.
If you draw those lines of where somebody has to win and somebody has to lose, guess what? Somebody will win and somebody will lose and nothing will be accomplished. But if you can erase those lines where you're looking for how can I help them succeed? So the first thing I would say is be a participant. But the second thing I would say is put yourself in their position and say, what's a win look like for them? And be willing to allow them to win. When it comes down to dates on the calendar or budget allocations or whatever, try to look at things from the perspective of the other leaders that you work alongside of and try to find a way to enable them to win, even if it means that you have to take a back seat or you have to defer part of your plans. And I'm telling you, that will come around to you if you stay at a church very long and you become that person who is always helping others succeed and win, and you're invested and involved and you're serving those other ministries, you will reap the benefits of that for your entire ministry at that church.
Yeah, it seems to me, Mike, there's a scripture about casting your bread upon the water and it returning to you on every wave. Another thing we always have to be careful about, and I think about this in a recent podcast, we talked about the senior pastor of a church being aware that eyes are on him in ministry. I'm thinking back, Mike, to my ministry as a worship pastor or even as a youth pastor, depending on the role I held. It's so easy to be critical of other ministries in front of the people you lead.
Oh, don't ever do that.
You just have to fight.
You cannot do that.
So when you don't have your tenors there because the youth group's out doing something or whatever it might be, we just have to watch ourselves as leaders so closely that we don't let our personal frustrations ever bleed out onto the people we're leading.
Absolutely. You know what? Let's call that principle avoid friendly fire.
Yeah, that's good. You've
got to be a band of brothers. Church leaders have got to be a band of brothers. Let the disagreements happen behind closed doors. Let the public face, and not being inauthentic, you need to really feel this way, but let the public face be one of support and love and encouragement. And, and if somebody makes a mistake, have lots of grace, be forgiving in your spirit. But Brian, what a great word. I mean, I can't imagine something a music person that could do that could be more harmful than to be critical of another staff member or another ministry in front of the church or in front of your own ministry. I think that's one of the most harmful things a staff member can do. As a matter of fact, if I was leading a team and that was happening on a routine basis, I would be strongly considering whether or not that person should remain on the team if that was a pattern.
I think it happens without people knowing it from time to time, and you just, there's no way you're ever going to get support if you damage relationships, and it's the relationships are so easily damaged. And I tell you, it could be the mildest comment that you didn't necessarily mean in a hurtful way, and by the time it gets translated back to that other leader you're trying to influence laterally, it can become a huge mess. So I think you're right. We just have to err way on on the side of supportiveness and then the side of benefit of the doubt. And I'm sure there's a good reason and we make mistakes too. All those kind of things.
And I'll tell you
what, remembering that we're on the same team.
Silence is almost as bad as agreeing.
Yeah, that's right.
When somebody comes to you with criticism and you just remain silent and sometimes you have to say, you know what, I'm not sure all the facts about that. Just a word of support and encouragement. And you know, human nature, we're all this way. When somebody comes up to us and complimenting us and criticizing someone else, our human nature is to receive that and maybe feel a little better about ourselves, you know, because we're so competitive. And hopefully we can grow out of that and be more mature than that. And that's a great word, Brian. Band of brothers. You want to lead laterally. Have each other's back. Have the back of the people you're working alongside of.
I tell you, as you are, Mike, you know I'm a huge sports fan. And successful sports teams, they'll often interview successful athletes. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. That when an athlete is asked, what motivates you to that level of sacrifice that it takes in practice and that level of commitment on the field? And over again, you hear the athlete say, there is no way I'm going to let that guy to the right of me or to the left of me down. Yeah. Or that lady to the left of me or the right of me. There's no way. They talk, some of the greatest athletes talk about fear, that they're motivated by a fear that they might let their teammate down.
Yeah.
And if that applies in the secular world of athletics, how much more those of us who are leading people on mission for Christ should be a band of brothers, have each other's back. And we should be afraid of letting each other down too. That ought to motivate us. A healthy fear that we don't want to let the person next to us down.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a great point.
Absolutely. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys. You're so great to email us, worship@lifeway.com, and give us your comments and feedback. Talk about, if you would, when you communicate with us, ways that you've found successful in your ministry leading laterally. We'd love for you to come to some of our events this summer. We'd love to meet you in person as well. And, of course, keep reading and reviewing the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. So many of you are responding weekly. I hope this conversation has been helpful in helping you lead laterally in your church. Mike, you got one more thing?
Yeah, I was going to throw this in, but you were just so determined to get to the closing.
I didn't know you had.
Hey, you know what? And let I want to give just one more point. Yeah. That's just real simple. You want to lead laterally? Just show up. Mm. Just show up. When another ministry of the church is having some high profile, important something that they've been working for, just being in the back of the room and just giving a nod and supporting in prayer and supporting with presence and encouragement, just show up. And as musicians can be the worst about this. We show up for everything that's about us. Yeah. But we think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. I'm not going to be there. I want to tell you what, show up for what the other ministries are doing and support things with your presence and with your encouragement. And I want to tell you, if there's a work day at the church and all your men are wearing their coveralls, you know what? Put yours on too and get back in the, you know.
Man, what a good word.
I'm telling you. Yeah. And look, when I started grabbing, and I did this just because I love people. I love to talk to people and it's just my personality to do this. But I'll never forget one church I served. I just on a whim one Wednesday night said, you know what, I'm going to just get in there and get into the family night supper serving line, and I'm going to dish out the potatoes tonight. And I put on an apron with some old ugly face on the front of it and started serving potatoes and people coming through. Well, I want you to know my relationship with the kitchen staff was never the same. And I had so much fun doing it. I just made it a point about once or twice, you know, every few weeks I'd go in there and start putting the dessert on. And what that said to the church, I can't even tell you what that meant to people to see. Here's our minister of music, the guy that does the solo with the microphone and the spotlight, and he's serving the potatoes and gravy in the family night supper line. If you'll throw that kind of thing into the places in your ministry, you will find your lateral leadership will almost take care of itself. If you'll just show up and serve when it's not all about you, it'll make a big difference.
It's a great word, Mike. I'm thinking back to a time when I was very, very young in ministry and was working on a church work day, tearing off a roof. And as church work days often go, you got a lot of retirees, a lot of senior citizens who I wouldn't have not normally had anything in common with. And before that weekend, I don't know how they felt about my youth ministry, but I tell you what, when I was up there tearing off that roof of that Family Life Center with those guys, they just were supportive of me the whole rest of the time I was there. And they would talk about what a hard worker I was. Oh, Brian's a hard worker, yep. And that is just so powerful to lead, not just laterally, but even generationally by serving. So what a great word. Well, as I said before, Mike rudely interrupted me. No, before he had more to add. Please, we want to hear your stories as well. Those inspire us and they gave us ideas. We're involved in ministry at our churches still to this day. We want to hear from you what's worked for you. And you inspire our blog topics. You inspire us, and we want to hear from you. We want to know how to pray for you. So again, our email, worship@lifeway.com. We want to know how to pray for your church specifically. So tell us what you need from the Lord right now and how you'd like to have the Lifeway Worship Resources team praying for you. We know as you're listening to this, you're getting to the Christmas season, so we'll be praying for those productions and the opportunity that you have to share the gospel with people that might not otherwise ever darken the doors. We'll be praying for that. Please be praying for us and rate and review the podcast, and let's keep this conversation about worship going. Until we talk again, this is Brian Brown from Mike Harlan saying thanks for joining us in the Worship Life podcast. We'll be back together to talk about worship music again really soon.